Peace be upon you. God willing, today we are going to talk about the misconception that Prophet Muhammad was illiterate and could not read and write. God willing, we're going to look at the verses in the Quran and also try to understand where this rumor came from. So the very first revelation given to Prophet Muhammad was chapter 96, verses 1 through 4. And the very first word of the first revelation was read. So here's the first four verses. We seek refuge in God from Satan the rejected. Read in the name of your Lord who created. He created man from an embryo. Read in your Lord most exalted teaches by means of a pen. So the very first revelation to Prophet Muhammad, it tells Prophet Muhammad twice to read. And it also says that God teaches by means of the pen. Some people say that this word read is only figuratively, but we see other places in the Quran that when God wants it to be figuratively, such as to mean to say or to proclaim, God uses a different Arabic word, but this one specifically is in read, as in reading a physical text. The second revelation given to Prophet Muhammad is chapter 68, entitled The Pen. Because some people say in chapter 96, verse 4, when it says God teaches by means of the pen, that this too is figurative. But in the second revelation, chapter 68, verse 1, we read, noon the pen and what they the people write, which God is specifying what the function of the pen is, that it's to write. And God teaches by means of the pen. So the third revelation given to Prophet Muhammad is chapter 73. And in verse 4, God tells Prophet Muhammad, and read the Quran from cover to cover. And in verse 20 of the same chapter, it says, your Lord knows that you meditate during two-thirds of the night, or half of it, or one-third of it, and so do some of those who believe with you. God has designed the night and the day, and he knows that you cannot always do this. He has pardoned you. Instead, you shall read what you can of the Quran. He knows that some of you may be ill, others may be traveling in pursuit of God's provisions, and others may be striving in the cause of God. You shall read what you can of it. So again, God is emphasizing that to the prophet, to the believers, that we need to read the Quran. So in the first revelation, God tells Prophet Muhammad to read in the name of his Lord. It tells him that God teaches by means of the pen. In the second revelation, God tells us that the pen is used to write. And then in the third revelation, God again is emphasizing to read the Quran from cover to cover. And knowing that Prophet Muhammad would never deviate from any of God's commandments, it would be hypocritical to think that Prophet Muhammad couldn't read or write. This, in a nutshell, would think would be enough proof to realize that, you know, the Prophet Muhammad could read and write, that he wrote the revelations with his own hands, and that he wasn't illiterate as they claim. So where did this rumor come from that the Prophet could not read or write? So we know that the Prophet Muhammad did not have a physical miracle like the miracles of Jesus and the miracles of Moses. And this is pointed out in chapter 10, verse 20, where it says, they say, how come no miracle came down to him from his Lord? Say, the future belongs to God, so wait, and I'm waiting along with you. So here, clearly, Prophet Muhammad is saying that the future belongs to God, so wait, and I'm waiting along with you, meaning that they're waiting for the physical miracle to come. And the physical miracle did come, and we saw that in the previous podcast about the mathematical miracle. But some Muslims were not satisfied with Prophet Muhammad not having a physical miracle, and they wanted to make something, you know, miraculous around him, other than the Quran. And they came up with this this logic that Prophet Muhammad was illiterate, and it was a miracle that he came with the Quran since he was illiterate. This has basically gone on for years, about 200 years after the Prophet Muhammad's death. They came up with this rumor, and they continued to this day of emphasizing it. And one of the words that they used to twist to make him seem like he was illiterate is the Arabic word ummi. Unfortunately for those scholars, this word clearly means Gentiles in the Quran, or one who does not follow any scripture. And we can see this throughout the Quran, and God willing, we're going to look at these verses. But one thing we have to take in consideration is modern-day Arabic is not the same Arabic that the Quran was written in. The Quran was written in classical Arabic. The words throughout the 1400 years have grown to new meanings. And we have to look at what the meanings of those words meant back then when the Quran was originally revealed. If you look at the dictionary of the Holy Quran and look at the which looks at the classical Arabic meanings, and you go to page 32, you see that the word Ummi or Umayyun, the definition is belonging to a mother who have no revealed scriptures of their own. So this is telling us that the word Ummi does mean Gentile, that it means to someone whose mother, whose parents did not receive a scripture. So let's look at some of these verses that use the word Ummi, and we'll see that it clearly does not mean illiterate, that it means a Gentile. In chapter 3, verse 20, it says, "If they argue with you, then say, I have simply submitted myself to God, I and those who follow me. You shall proclaim to those who received the scripture as well as those who did not, would you submit? If they submit, then they have been guided. But if they turn away, your sole mission is to deliver the message. God is seer of all people." So the word that is translated as those who did not receive the scripture is the word Ummi. And in chapter 3, verse 75, we read, "Some followers of the scripture can be trusted with a whole lot, and they will give it back to you. Others among them cannot be trusted with a single dinar. They will not repay you unless you keep after them. This is because they say, we do not have to be honest when dealing with the Gentiles. Thus, they attribute lies to God knowingly." So the other translation that you'll see is they say, we do not have to be honest when dealing with the illiterates. Now, this is kind of, you know, funny, because in the Talmud, this is a common belief that they don't have to be honest when dealing with the Gentiles. It's something that they innovated later on, and we don't see anything about people saying they don't have to be honest when dealing with the illiterate. Another verse that uses the word Ummi is chapter 62, verse 2. It says, "He is the one who sent to the Gentiles a messenger from among them to recite them his revelations, purify them, and teach them the scriptures and wisdom. Before this, they had gone far astray." And if you look in the other translations, typically they'll translate this word as "he is the one who was sent to the illiterates from among them," meaning that Prophet Muhammad only went to the illiterates, which is not true. He actually went to the Gentiles. The Arabs were actually known as Gentiles among the other people of the scripture. So this verse clearly makes sense that Prophet Muhammad was one who was sent to the Gentiles, the Arabs, from among them to preach to them. So another verse that you see typically misconstrued to try to portray Prophet Muhammad as illiterate is chapter 29, verse 48, where it says, "You did not read the previous scriptures, nor did you write them with your hand. In that case, the rejectors would have reason to harbor doubts." And in this verse, it's clearly talking about the previous scriptures. But some people misconstrue this and say that when it says you did not read the scriptures, that it's referring to the Quran as well. And that's simply not true if you look at it in context. So another proof that the prophet could read and write was the well-known fact that the prophet was a merchant. Back in the time of the prophet, they didn't have numerals like we do today for numbers. What they used was a geometrical value, which is very similar to like Roman numerals, where the letters constitute numbers. So in Arabic, the Aleph is 1, the Ba is 2, Kaf is 20, Ra is 200, Sheen is 300, and this is well known. You can probably look it up. Just type in geometrical value in Arabic, and you can find that back then at the time of the Prophet, this was the system. So being a merchant and having to deal with numbers, it would be given that the Prophet would know all the letters, and further proof that, you know, he wasn't illiterate. The final proof that the Prophet could read and write, and actually did write the Quran, is found in chapter 25, verse 5, where the contemporaries of the Prophet made the following statement. They say, "These are tales from the past that he wrote down. They are being dictated to him day and night." Clearly, you cannot dictate to an illiterate person, meaning that the contemporaries of the Prophet knew that the Prophet could read and write, but they speculated that he was getting help from outsiders, which was not the case. So just to recap some of the points that were made before we end this podcast, God willing, is that the first three revelations given to the Prophet emphasized for the Prophet to read. It told the Prophet that God teaches by means of the pen. It told the Prophet that the pen's function is used to write, that it's not, you know, meant figuratively. And again, emphasized three times in the third revelation to read the Quran. In following the word Ummi, when we look at the verses in the Quran, clearly mean Gentile. And this is confirmed looking at any classical Arabic dictionary, that it doesn't mean illiterate, that this is a meaning that was encountered years later and not the original meaning of the word. And finally, that the contemporaries of the Prophet knew that he could read and write, and that also the Prophet was a merchant and was familiar with the geometrical value in order to be able to do business. So God willing, we're going to end there. As always, if you want further information, I highly recommend to read the Quran. You can find an awesome translation of the Quran on QuranAlone.com. If you have any comments or questions or anything at all, feel free to contact us at QuranTalk@gmail.com. Until next time, peace and God bless.